Hey, you want that to go?
Time to get some takeouts on stories that we're following this week. And first up, we've got the New York Times, Wall Street, and finance reporter Louise Story. So, Louise, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission was on Capitol Hill yesterday. She was testifying and said it's going to take time to understand what caused the Dow index to drop nearly 1,000 points in less than an hour last week.
The SEC is working around the clock to identify the causes of this sudden spike and to make changes which will help prevent disruptions of this type in the future.
But did Mary Shapiro offer her own theories as to what caused it?
Good morning. She said something that I thought was very interesting. She talked about certain trading strategies they're going to look at that may have exacerbated the market move. So some of these strategies are known as momentum trading, which is when you bet that a trend will continue, but when you make this bet, you help it continue. So this was a new area that she talked about looking into, was the actual trading strategies people undertake. And, you know, if she finds something there, there could be big limits for traders on, you know, what kind of trades they can even make.
Okay, so that's one indication in which they're looking into the causes of this huge drop. But also on the pages of your paper today, the New York Times, they're talking, Eric Dash is talking about a perfect game in the first quarter. For the people who don't know what this means, that's for when a bank doesn't lose money, never lost any money on a single day of trading. Who are these banks that actually achieved the perfect game, and what are the causes of that?
That's right. Wouldn't you love it if every time you made trades, you were always up? And that's what we're seeing at these four banks. It's Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America. For the entire 61 days of the first quarter, they all made money. And it was dramatic at some of these banks and their trading units. At Bank of America, there were more than 26 days. They made more than $100 million in their trading. Gary Cohn, who's the president of Goldman, was speaking yesterday at a conference about this. And he said that this shows how Goldman executed so well for its customers. But I've got to say, some people I talk with say, this kind of shows that it's heads you win, tails you win for the banks, because every single day they're up and trading. There's not a day where they're down in the first quarter.
Trying to explain big losses and big gains. That's Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for the New York Times.
And as Louise points out, they get their money at a record cheap rate.
Exactly,
because
of the Fed's
interest rates.
Exactly.
Well, that's right. So it's a great business. We got to get into that business. Headlines in China recently have been dominated not by news of earthquakes or the Shanghai International Exposition, but a disturbing story that's been unfolding in schools all over China. Damian Grammaticus joins us, BBC reporter in Beijing. In the past 2 months, there have been six violent assaults on school children in China. First of all, what is distinctive, Damian Grammaticus, about these assaults? And we have new headlines this morning.
Well, yeah, we do. Today's case is a really tragic one. We now have seven young children. These are all under the age of six, five boys, two girls, hacked to death along with their female teacher in a kindergarten in central China by a man who came in wielding a meat cleaver. And he just set about the school. The state media report says that this was in a sort of frenzy hacking attack, and then went home and committed suicide. Now, this is the one, as you indicate, of six such attacks. We've had one man with a hammer attacking school children, several other times single men with knives stabbing at children, always in primary schools or kindergartens. It's been six times in the last 2 months, 17 deaths, and over 60 to 70 serious injuries. So Chinese parents really in shock about this.
And I mean, I have to ask, what do people say is going on here? I mean, this guy committed suicide, so it's not necessarily the case that he would have anything to do with the other attacks. So are these copycats? Is there something about hacking kindergartners to death in China that resonates somewhere, somehow?
Well, several things to say. This case, the man who carried out the attack seems to have been the owner of the building. So it's possible the attacker is some way related to his relationship with the school. In other attacks, that's not been the case. We had a farmer whose house was knocked down or was scheduled to be knocked down, who went into a local school and launched an attack. Another man who apparently was jilted by his girlfriend or his fiancée and was angry about that. I think there's a real fear that there is a copycat element here. And today, interestingly, we've seen the Chinese government clamp down on reporting of this. No pictures on TV. Initial web reports taken off the web. It appears that newspapers and news organisations have been instructed not to send reporters to cover this story themselves, but simply to take the state wire service, which is releasing very brief details about the story.
Wow.
So it appears the government's trying to restrict copycat attacks. But behind it, really, I think, is a sense that also China is a country in which their pressures are building up on people, the gap between rich and poor, people finding that very difficult, little release in the way of any treatment for social stress, for psychological stress, for mental problems.
Indeed, there's a cultural stigma associated with those precise things that you talk about that's well known in China, correct?
Yes, there isn't really a recognition very much of it, of sort of mental and psychological issues. But also, what's interesting too, perhaps is worth pointing out, what's been commented on is possibly that lashing out at school children in a way is sort of breaking almost a taboo here, because with the one child policy, the most precious thing you have in your life is your child, and you put everything into them and their education. So if you want to lash out at society, what do you target? Well, perhaps you target children. That is a theory that's being put out.
That is extraordinary. I mean, the hairs on the back of my neck are standing out there. Thanks for that explanation. Damian Grammaticus, BBC reporter in Beijing, talking about a string of brutal stabbings and hackings against schools and school children, and one this morning where the man committed suicide. Damian Grammaticus, thanks so much.